You're going to get hard if you play us.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Mokarem Injury Lawyers, y'all, hard as hell to say, easy to dial, baby. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one's ever injured in an accident, you know exactly who to call. And that is Mokarem Injury Lawyers. I want to start this thing out, man. I want to send some prayers up, man, to the folks up in the Texas Hill Country.
Oh, absolutely.
I was up there this weekend, and luckily, we do most of our hanging and spending time in the river, around the river, on the lower Guadalupe, which is below Canyon Lake. The floods and most of what you're seeing, not that there wasn't some flooding and some issues on the lower Guadalupe, and it may even be worse today. I know there was some more weather coming through that area, but most of the damage was done on the upper Guadalupe, which is before, obviously, what feeds Canyon Lake. And then the lower Guadalupe starts right there at the dam of Canyon Lake. So my family was safe. But I tell you, there's a lot of families, man, that were affected, whether it was the adults. I think it's, last I saw the count, it was 40 adults and 28 children. That lost their lives in that flood. I could not imagine what those kids went through, being at a church camp with all their friends, lay their head on their pillow, go to bed, safe and sound.
My son's going to church camp this week.
Amen. I mean, just safe and sound like that, and then you wake up to a flood that's in the cabin, that's washing the cabin away, that ultimately takes the lives of 20 plus kids, and I don't think that they're still, I believe last I saw, 11 kids and a couple of adults that they haven't found. I know there's some conflicting reports out there about who, what, when, and where, and who's been rescued, who wasn't, who's at the end of the day, I don't care about all that, man. Just prayers up to the families that have been affected, both that live in those areas, in those counties up there in the Texas Hill Country, as well as the kids that had come, by the way, from all over the state of Texas, definitely, maybe even some of the bordering states. I know my college roommate's daughter was there as a counselor. She got out safe. I can only imagine what he and his wife went through in terms of not knowing for a while. There's a baby girl here from Houston that is still one of them that's missing. Prayers up for her and her family. But boy, I tell you what, man, if you got kids, if you got babies, if you got loved ones, man, hug them extra. Hug them extra, because you don't ever know when that time is going to come. That is an absolute travesty. It's hard to fathom what's going on and what's gone on up there. And heck, Ron, I left up there yesterday, man, and as we were leaving.
So it wasn't as bad where you were.
No, it wasn't at all, because the lake, the Canyon Lake was damn near, literally, I'm not joking, was damn near dried up. I mean, it was like 30 feet below its normal level, and I believe Canyon Lake is one of the deepest man-made lakes in the state of Texas. I mean, there's multi-million-dollar homes all around that lake that the property value, I got to believe, had just plummeted, because the lake literally was about to dry up. And so that lake is going to catch, at this point, I believe it's going to hold all of the flood water that is pouring into it. So that's stopping any of the flooding south of where we typically hang. But last I heard, man, that which was yesterday day when we were leaving, that they could potentially be evacuating the rescuers that are down there searching for people, because there was more flooding coming. So again, man, just some of the best people on this planet, man, that I've ever met in my life. Live up in that area. Those are great people up there. Not that anybody isn't, but those are just great people up there, getting their lives torn apart, man, for an extended period of time. So prayers up now, and I hope everybody that has not been affected today, I hope there's no more casualties, and everybody can start the recovery process as much as we possibly can. So big prayers up to all my Texas Hill Country folks that are up there. Guys, did y'all hear about have y'all heard about this? I believe, is it Cosms? COSMS. Have y'all seen, Tyler, have you heard of this?
I'm not familiar.
It is a venue, basically. To me, what it sounds like is, you know, the Sphere or whatever is in Vegas?
Yeah.
It seems like something that's very similar. I just posted a video that a guy posted on social media that I found. They're referring to it as immersive sports viewing experience. So you're in, I believe it's a dome. You're at least
you
in.
Could, okay.
It is like, I'd heard about it. It's going viral right now. I'd heard about it, but I'd never been in one or never watched a video of one. It literally is a mini Las Vegas Sphere, right? Right now there's one in LA and there's one in Dallas, I believe. But Ron, this is like, the bar is where you sit is built. It looks like you are literally in the game. It is an 87 by 50 foot dome screen. And the company that owns, I believe you say it COSM, COSM, owns C360, which is the company that handles the video technology in sports leagues, like the pylon camera. Some of the different 360 degree cameras that are involved in Major League Baseball games. So that's their end, right? So they've already got people on site that are handling those things. That's their end, and they have people coordinating all these different camera angles to create this immersive sports viewing experience in this dome-like, this sphere-like establishment. But it's essentially a sports bar in there, they started out kind of like, I guess, trialing it in different, like, you know how like museums will have scientific stuff on some of these different.
So it feels like you're there.
Bro, look at the video. I mean, if you're sitting, it's like you're standing in the end zone with a sideline pass. And the Longhorns are playing somebody. I don't know who it is, but they throw a touchdown and the guy runs. It looks like he runs right past you. Like, he literally runs past the building, it looks like, out the window. It's wild to think. But the point is right now they've got, again, L.A. and Dallas, but they just, I believe, received funding to add another, I think 50 locations around the country. And so I got to believe that Houston's going to get one of those. And I'm telling you, it is, in a city like Houston, you're going to need more than one of them to hold. I mean, because they're not huge venues.
I'm watching
700 seats.
Yeah, I'm seeing it now.
I mean, it's. I mean, I know you could get down with it. It would be. I mean, and the bigger the event, they say sometimes some tickets for this place are $200.
Oh, it does. It feels like you're at the soccer game.
Right. It feels like you're in it. It's wild, man. How much? Well, up to $200. Like some of the bigger events that they're charging $200. But they say like some soccer event that one of the guys mentioned was like a $60 ticket to get into. Mm. But at first you're like, what the hell? It's just another sports bar that I'm going. Nah, it ain't quite that. I would go once for damn sure. I would get a crew and I don't know how much of the crew would spend $200 a head, but at $100 a head, I could get a table. I could get us a table.
I mean,
in
I
there.
Want to experience it.
I think it would be cool as hell. A big game where you're like a Jayhawk game.
I don't know if I could watch that with other people.
Well, you probably can't. But
when you were saying it, I was thinking of the fight between Bud Crawford and Canelo Alvarez. That would be that. I bet you that's a high money one. And feel like you're there. That would be a.
I mean, apparently there's. I didn't realize when looking at the video, it doesn't look like there's 700 seats in there. But apparently there's 700 seats in there. But just the thought of these guys that already had the they got rights with all the ESPNs and ABCs and TNTs and all that. They got all the rights to broadcast this and charge to broadcast it. So they paid a pretty penny for it. But to think that these guys, Ron, that already have like the technology of all the different cameras in there, have somehow came up with a way to either develop a concept or link up with guys that have already developed a concept of this sphere, which is just a next level, sports viewing experience. I got to believe that we're going to get one in Houston. I know there's some other cities out there that have been, I think the next five locations have been announced, and we are not in that group of locations. Again, I think the name of it is COSMS. That doesn't sound right. Surely I can come up with a better name than that. You think I'm saying that right? COSMS?
If it becomes popular, I don't think it matters.
I guess it doesn't matter that it become mainstream. Yeah. immersive sports viewing experience. I
saw one with like a volcano going off. And it felt like you were live there.
Well, it's wild, man. It's when you get the football game that I saw was somebody in the venue was actually videoing, and it is. I mean, it would be a hell of an experience. I mean, my wife would enjoy that. I mean, you ain't got no choice.
And there's only two locations right now,
Dallas and L.A. And I think
no way Vegas ain't gonna get a hold of it.
They've cleared the path. They've cleared the path for. Two more. I'm sorry. Five more. Ron is Cleveland, Atlanta, Detroit. Are the next three. So that would be a total of five. But I got to believe when they get to going to numbers of 50, we're gonna have one. That's gonna be clean right there. I'm Clint Stern alongside Ron. The show Ugly. Tyler Milner is on the ones and twos behind the glass, and there's a little occupied in there. He's got that technical side of producing in there. He's got him tied up right now. But Tyler, I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna like this one. You're gonna like this one. You know me, Tyler. I'm not one to typically really give much of a rip about the Dodgers or the Yankees or really anybody else for that matter with the Astros. Like, you get pretty emotional. I just like, man, these are douchebags, man. Anyway,
I just gotta call them turds when I see it.
Turds probably a more appropriate term to use. Sorry.
I think both are usable.
Did y'all hear Orr Hershiser?
Oh yeah.
What did OH say?
You know, he's calling the game. Was it the first game or the second game? It had to be the first game, right? Because it was when we were teeing off.
Oh yeah, it was the 18 run game. He thought he was being slick with it, slimy ass.
Two things this weekend. This, and I'll be honest, I missed this particular game. Like I said earlier, I didn't see Lance's outing. I just saw the box score. I missed this particular game, but I did hear this. And then I heard the post-game press conference or the post-game interview on the field with Jose Altuve where he got questioned about a couple things. This is, we're at a point now to where now I'm mad when it comes up. Like, this is plum ass silly.
And I'm going to tell you, Dodger fans are the worst.
I'm telling you, Jim, here's Orr Hershiser. Orr Hershiser was calling the Astros Dodgers game as the Astros are teeing off on that ass. And this is what he thinks is a good route to take.
Turd alert.
Hit hard to deep center field. Páez on the run. Will turn and watch this one wedge itself in the bottom of the wall. And Cam Smith flying into second, anchoring there with another extra base hit for the Astros. Double homer double to open third against Kasperius.
I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know when it's coming. That is not a bad pitch. It's really a very good pitch. Low and away, probably would have ended up by the ankles if it would have made it past the bat. That's the other thing that you analyze. You analyze your grip, your delivery, your glove position on different pitches. Am I giving something away?
You may have been tipping pitches. Very well may, but to make a comment, open old wounds, whatever the hell he said, about the old... Like, I just think it's Orr Hershiser, man. Now I know I don't want to drink a beer with Orr Hershiser, by the way. I always viewed him
you
as a guy.
You always felt it, didn't you?
I just we were probably not cut from the same cloth, and now I know I have zero interest in grabbing a cold Earl. Beer with Orr Hershiser. I'm at a point, initially they deserve it, it didn't bother me. Now we're at a point where it's like, who cares? But why? Like, why would you, why even go there?
I do just wonder how long, that is going to be a kind of a go-to. Because I bet you often lines like that are used by the home broadcasting team that potentially,
yeah, you're probably,
you
know, right. Well, when they're like scoring 18 runs, I guess.
Or anything. Like something where trash cans or something. I bet you that is used or in some form or fashion. I just wonder how long is this going to be a thing? Is it going to be as long as Altuve is yeah. playing?
Yeah. Oh, well, LA's a bunch of crybaby bitches. Well, hold on to this forever.
But I know how you feel about LA. I would assume, Tyler, it's a lot of cities.
But with this guy in particular, he was very, very, very vocal as the play-by-play for the LA Dodgers. Back in the day when all this was going down, he was one of the more vocal ones about the Houston Astros and his displeasure with them.
You're spot on, T. Here's the deal. It's Orr Hershiser, man. He should be the one that's that's lending a little bit of sense to the situation to the family. He shouldn't be the one you're worried about doing this. I mean, he's better than that. It's just plumb silly. And then you look. This is the other part of it that pissed me off. I'm watching this one. Altuve's getting interviewed after the game, and I think it was the second game, I guess, after he did he go off in that game, he hit two home runs, or the first game was when he hit two home runs. Anyway, he was getting post-game interviewed, and old buddy didn't feel real comfortable asking the question, but he gets to the point of like, Altuve, how does it feel to be performing here and playing here and winning, even though the boos are unbelievably loud every move you make? They're still booing Altuve.
Idiots can't learn.
I'm saying, how long is this? How long is this going to go?
I mean,
we're 5 years now.
Yeah, it's never been something that got under my skin until now, to where you're just like, I mean, come on, man, y'all are petty as hell. Move on, man.
Now Cam Smith's wearing it.
Yeah, Cam Smith. That's what I was going to say. Hey, you're talking about a rookie that just hit a double. What, was he even high school?
I don't know.
I think he was in high school 5 years ago, at least.
Was
right?
It 5 years ago when that went down? It was only 2020? I guess when they started.
It had been right around when I got in here.
We'll always get it shook up because
It was a little bit before I got in here.
Yeah.
Hey, old Hershiser. Hey, hate to tell you, man, but that 2017 banner is still hanging. It's still hanging over at Duncan Park. It's still up there, baby.
As I said, from all the booing and all the other places, is this going to be a decade? If Altuve is off the team, is that when it stops? Because, I mean, who else is there? Who else is even there?
He's the last one.
Right? Yeah, I don't think anybody else is
it
there.
It doesn't matter. See Orange Team, hate Orange Team for those clowns.
He and Bregman were the last two.
Yeah, maybe Espada was there.
Was Espada there? Was Citron there?
I don't know. Because Alex Cora was there, so I don't
wonder if Cora gets booed everywhere he goes.
No one else does. I don't think, even when they get traded.
You think Bregman will once?
No. I don't think Bregman does. Now he's been traded to the side.
I don't mind it. I actually kind of like it until it becomes like Oral Hershiser. Man, come on, bro.
All right, coming up, the Astros turn the page on what was a crazy weekend. I do want to get into what kind of blew you away the most. Like Listen, I know Astros fans, you know, you are very confident in your team, as you should, as Justin Verlander said, 7 effing times. All right?
7 effing times.
You've been to the ALCS. You've won multiple World Series. You're dusting dirt off your shoulder like Tyler just did in the control room. But even you were a little bit surprised that it was total domination of a sweep in L.A. this weekend. What was the most impressive thing, and we'll get you ready for – This has got to be the toughest lineup the Astros have run out there all year long. If you hadn't seen it, there is no Christian Walker on the paternity list. There's no Jake Myers, and you already know who isn't there. We'll let you see what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
As the Astros prepare to return home and face the Cleveland Guardians, who about a week or two, hell, a month ago, we looked at that. This was going to be a potential playoff matchup, a tough series coming up. Oh, the Guardians have really just nosedived. They've lost 10 in a row, and six and 24 in their last 30. So that's a big time struggle. Cleveland is they're coming in. Joe Espada, our guy Will Conkle, spoke with other media members with the captain, Joe Espada. He said, asked if he thinks their all-star shortstop, Jeremy Peña, will play before the all-star break. Captain Joe just said, I'm not going to answer that. There's some dusty in him.
Yeah, they look.
There it is.
That's what the hell I'm talking about, Joe Espada. About damn time you learn.
Number one right there.
Look, that's number one. Hey, becoming a manager.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
I hear you, Joe. And look, I know you got some forces above you that are pushing against you with some of the misinformation or conflicting information. This is well done, Joe.
That's it. I'm not going to answer that.
That's well done, Joe.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah, it should be a no-brainer for you, Joe. How many times are you going to let him get you?
Yeah, no, they ain't going to tell me, no. I'm not telling you nothing until I see him walk out there. I'm not telling you nothing. So,
I wonder if it's Steinbrenner and – or not Steinbrenner. Who is it? Boris? Boris and –
Scotty.
Scotty Boris and Jeremy Pena going, hey, Joe, hey, Dana, hey, trainers, I'd appreciate it if y'all didn't mention my name one time along with what injury, injury, recovery, rehab, where I'm at, what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
If that's just Joe learning.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's what Joe should keep saying. I'm not telling
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely,
100%. No. I mean, it's not, you know.
And I'd like to know.
I was about to say, now, and for our job, what Joe brings to the table sometimes is helpful.
No, ain't no doubt.
Dana, you come on out. Dana's going to say enough for it all. That would be my approach anyway. If I was the manager of the Astros,
ask Dana.
I don't think I need to go into that.
Hey,
because Dana's coming.
Would you say is Jeremy Pena playing for the All-Star break? When is Dana going on? Dana's on Tuesdays at 4:00. Y'all listening
to that? Hell, man, you know.
I kept it real as a true professional myself.
Yeah, you're going to keep it a little bit more real, man.
I just saw him on TV up there speaking to me. It must be today.
I'm keeping it HIPAA. What I'm doing.
Hey, Dusty. Dusty had that thing figured out, didn't he?
Oh, man.
Dusty was like, y'all ain't making no fool of me.
Well.
Oh, man, I ain't going to tell you. Yeah, you're going to be back soon. Okay. There, they're playing that song of dance with him on how quick Lance is going to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Get on the mound, little
HIPAA. Shout out to Johnny Dusty. All right. Honestly, man, I'm looking at this weekend series, and I mean 29-6.
Yeah,
29-6. They dominated. What many people, even after that three game series, what many people believe is the best team in baseball. And you kind of hit on this a little earlier, because there's just so much to take from the thing, Clint, is you look at, all right, the lineups that the Astros had to put out. Like, what's more impressive? The 26, yeah, I know 18 came in one, but still, they're over five in the other two. But the 26 or the 29, excuse me, or the six in three games against the old Ohtani, Betts, and Freddie Freeman right off the rip. Three batters every single day. Their catcher, Will Smith, is an all-star. And Hernandez is really, really good. Like, that lineup, that ain't a lineup you hold down in L.A. for six runs.
Yeah.
And Hunter Brown didn't pitch. Right? So, like, that's
Hunter Brown didn't pitch, and Framber gave up four of the six.
And that was the worst start.
Was it four he gave up?
He gave up four in six innings. Gusto gave up one run, and Lance gave up one run. And Lance, and Lord knows, Lance has given it up a couple of times this year. Go see Cincinnati, go see Washington. And that, so I don't even know which one's more impressive to me, the six or the 29. Because I can say that of the six, that lineup with those guys pitching. But I can also say of the 29, I mean, there's no Yordan, there's no Pena. Hell, Jake got hurt midway. Zach Short got inspired. Hummel got inspired. Like, it is just insane what they did. Christian Walker hadn't been hitting worth a damn all season. And then he waltzes in there and just goes off. Cam Smith is coming, folks. But it is insane what the number they did on the Dodgers. You can't tell me the Dodgers weren't kind of ready. Like, the Astros are a get up team. Right? Like, even if Yordan wasn't there, you can't tell me they were just like, ah, hell, it's the Astros. There's a rivalry there. There's a feel from your fan base towards the Astros. And they couldn't do nothing.
Well, Ryan, you're talking about, when you talk about the Dodgers, like right now, you could look at the Astros lineup, and with the exception of Altuve, a pitcher could come in and pitch really, really well, and it's just going to be another good outing by a good pitcher. Because they're so, like, where I'm going with, the Dodgers got a bunch of bats in their lineup that aren't guys that take days off. They're all-stars, man. They're some of the best in the game. I mean, throughout. These aren't guys that just take series off. These are guys that play the entire season and play at an all-star level for year after year after year. There's no way around it. That was, whether you're talking about the Gusto start, the McCullers start, the fact that overall they outscored them, by 23 runs, whatever the hell that is. It was an unbelievable weekend for the Stros. And they we hadn't mentioned this, Ron, but they have put themselves in a spot. They are 13-2 against division winners. I mean, division leaders, because they had won the division. They have played the other teams that are leading in the other divisions right now, and they are 13-2 against those teams. I mean, they aren't. This isn't one of those played a weak schedule, and they're just kind of flying under the radar.
No, they're playing thus far is the toughest part of their schedule. You know, after this is the easier part of their schedule.
Right.
Yeah. This was they swept the first place Phillies, scoring 5 runs. They just swept the first place, what many people believe the best team in baseball. The Dodgers scoring 29 runs, and then in the middle they took 2 of 3 from the Cubs at home there. Like
they won a series against Detroit as a leader.
Yep.
Who's leading the other division?
I can't remember what they've done with the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have just gone off here of late.
They won the division.
They have just gone past the Yankees. They are going off.
They won the series against the Blue Jays, though.
Yeah. Old George Springer's been on a tear.
Yeah. By the way, that All-Star thing, Bregman and Tucker made the All-Star team. Both.
How about that?
No surprise.
Right. Paredes is one we haven't talked about. There may have been some thoughts that Paredes could have made this thing. Bregman made it. Probably Devers messed it up.
Boston.
No.
Damn, Raph.
No.
It's got to be on there steaming, man.
No.
Just made that. All right. Thanks for that. Every time gets me. Coming up, Dalton Schultz. Should he be the one that is reaping the biggest benefit of anybody on this offense with all the changes? We'll discuss him and what we believe he should be showing next year for the Texans. That's coming up next.
Just keep your soft ass out of the conversation.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Clint finally ate for the first time today.
Yeah, it does.
I'm in a good spot here.
Weigh-in day, baby.
That man, Clint, weigh-in day. Clint, do you eat or drink leading up into this?
Very little.
You have to. As much as you said you went and got a good workout in, you got to get some water in there.
No, I don't. No. There's no just water consumption. There is a small water consumption for my morning supplements. There is a one small cup of coffee for I put some supplements in my coffee as well. That's it.
That's it. That's all you do, huh?
And I get up here and get that weigh-in, boy. Tell you what, we get in them 2:30, I'm gonna take that shirt off, be beating the chest like the UFC fighters do.
There you go. We'll see. Clint's gonna take his shirt off and beat his chest like those UFC fighters.
He's bare chested. Get in them 2:30s, boy.
And that's a different ball game, huh?
Borrow some of Tyler's Nair.
Uh-oh.
I don't know none of that no more. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to buy none either. My nipples will never forget that nightmare.
Well, what are you using now? Just straight razor?
Nipples was tender.
I just went back to using the trimmers like I did.
Trimmers, yeah.
That Nair scarred me, boy.
Just get it waxed, man. A lot longer, I hear. Well, I'm
not opposed to that. But
the people that were professionals that know what they're doing, you just went back there and just ballparked it with the Nair. And
I did
then,
not read instructions on the bottle.
That's tender nipple, Tyler.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh, can we say that?
You can say nipple. Tender nipple. Yeah, you can say tender nipple. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready. Hold on to your nipples.
That's
unbelievable. I can't talk about them shoes I used to buy at that locomotion store.
No, you cannot say what 2 Chainz's first name was.
That's crying shame, boy.
That's how I found out. Yep. It's all right, man. You know, Tyler doesn't need to be hitting the dump button or getting himself in trouble.
Yeah, man.
It was so crazy. Hey, Figgy must be on a twitch of cussing. Because, I mean, you know, I do a lot of, man, that, you know, like I'm going to say something. Figgy wasn't playing. When I was with him Thursday, boy, Figgy, he is ready. Man, you scared me with that. You are not going to get an F-bomb on Figgy's watch. Figgy is not playing. Like, man, ooh, and Reggie, too. They are trained.
Yeah, Reggie.
Like I said, man, I wasn't going to say it.
It seems like Reg is a bit nervous.
I'm always good raw dog in the drive.
Thanks, Reggie. Yeah, Figgy said he was a little nervous about me when I lost it with when we found out Lance McCullers got himself injured. I did drop the S bomb. Well, speaking of somebody who made many of you all drop the S bomb last year, would you say it's fair for this thought, Dalton Schultz, Clint, that obviously his last year was disappointing, and that's putting it kindly, especially from people like Tyler and Clint, who just could take it a whole nother level of just disappointing. But with Nick Caley coming to the team as a former tight ends coach with that background, that's what he did with the Rams, that's what he did with the Patriots before, and now it does seem like the offense is maybe shifting, as they're saying, they're watching more Brady. Is the offense maybe shifting more to that? And we know the history that Brady had, especially with that position, not just Gronk, but also the killer, Anthony Hernandez. Ben Watson did some things there as well. The tight end position is something they've used a lot there. Shouldn't he probably be one of the top guys that you would think would benefit the most from the shift and change of not just the coach from Bobby Slowick to Nick Caley, but seemingly what maybe the philosophy of the offense is? It seems like it may, you know, favor him as a tight end more.
Yeah, Ron. Look, I think there's, now we better see more than just the tight end position improve. But yes, I think it's fair right now.
At the top of the list.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of people that expect Nick Caley to do great things in terms of play call. I have no idea. That's a very difficult thing to do in the game of football. I'll argue it's the most difficult thing to do in the game of football. I don't know if he's going to be worth a damn at that. But what I think is very fair for fans and really anybody that covers a team to be very critical of is the tight end position. Not just Dalton Schultz and his ability to earn the $12 million a year that his contract is paying him, but to have one of his better, if not best, years under Nick Caley. The expectations of Nick Caley as an offensive coordinator to fix the protections, to help the quarterback do this, to tilt the offense to the strengths of all the different players that you need to hit on all cylinders. I don't know about that. But to tilt this offense in a way that you can get the most production possible out of your tight end group, I expect the hell out of that. Absolutely. So, yeah, I think it's at the top of the list of things that should naturally improve without any change whatsoever. What should naturally improve is there's several positions, but one damn sure should be, and like you said, at the top of the list should be the tight end group. You got one that you're paying $12 million to. You got one that is known for sure hands and route running and being a safety net, being quarterback friendly, knowing defenses, maybe not necessarily like a quarterback, but in a very cerebral way can identify and anticipate what defenses are doing. You got to get back to that. At the very least, you got to get back to that. And I think Nick Caley, if he can't unlock that side of Dalton Schultz, then at the very least, yeah, we got some problems.
Yeah, it has to. CJ may benefit as well. Sure. A lot of guys may benefit, but him, there has to be some level you think your coordinator has a focus on that part of the on that part. And you and maybe getting back to, because 2023, fellas, we didn't think that Dalton Schultz was a negative to this team, right? I think you felt good about Dalton Schultz. I don't remember very many people saying, whoa, they gave Dalton Schultz $12 million? Like after that year, and it was 59 catches, 635, 5 touchdowns on 88 targets. But then I think there was a thought, boy, CJ's getting better. That was a rookie year. He'll jump up. But I think last year it was just a combination of, I think you've talked about it, I personally don't want to just 100% say that I know what had happened, but it would at times appear that it was a lackluster effort from him, especially when it came to putting his hands on and trying to move people physically. And then all the numbers on top of that were down. You know, you know, if over 100 yards less receiving, less touchdowns, you know, and just not less receptions last year. I think all of that to me has to shift and change. And I think he's in a situation where he potentially could get that with the change in the offense and the coach.
He should get it. Absolutely should get it. He should be absolutely stoked. I mean, if he just takes a different approach and he realizes what he put on film last year is unacceptable and should be embarrassing, and he gets better along with Nick Caley coming in and being a tight end whisperer or a tight end expert, then that should bode well. You mentioned C.J. Stroud. Hell, the truth of the matter is if you got a $12 million tight end that his specialty is being a safety valve, being quarterback friendly, being a good route runner, or being able to separate and make yourself available and having good hands, then that alone, if you can get the best out of Dalton Schultz, that's going to significantly answer the issues that the Texans had trouble figuring out last year. I mean, that is going to improve C.J. Stroud's play. It's going to improve the offensive line's ability to pass protect if C.J.'s getting the ball out quicker. So, yeah, I mean, you can argue that alone, because Nico don't need to do nothing. Hell, Nico never – if Nico's healthy, he plays lights out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can argue that the one player that can impact this offense the most by improving their play, and there is opportunity to improve the play. Joe Mixon, you ain't gonna get no more out of. Nico Collins, you don't get no more out of. Like, that just is what it is. You're not getting any more out of.
You shouldn't expect to. Yeah.
Dalton Schultz, there's major room to improve, and the expectation should be to improve. And if he does, he will help this team tremendously. And help them tremendously, period, but he will also help them tremendously in answering and fixing some of the issues that they had last year that ultimately killed them.
And with some of the stuff coming in on the text line, maybe it's just the position, and maybe there's going to be more there because maybe a Cade Stover is ready to potentially make a move past him. Maybe there, you know, maybe it's not just – maybe if he can't roll with it, the somebody in the tight end room should be more production from the tight end room. With that, to be fair to Dalton Schultz, I'm not going to give him a complete out on this, but I do think he wasn't always put in the positions that are probably best for him to be at his best. And I do think there were moments, whether it was because of CJ, whether it was because of Bobby, whether it was because of protection, whatever, there were moments where he was missed or moments where he could have been more of a priority right off the bat in game. So, but I'm not going to let him off. But I do want to, in fairness to him, acknowledge that part of it.
Yeah, no, look, I think it's very fair to say, hey, look, we want to be more aggressive. We're going to stretch the field approach to last year's offense left Dalton Schultz hanging a lot. Left Dalton Schultz as an afterthought instead of what should have been, an immediate answer a lot of the time. So, yeah, no, there's no doubt that, look, in no way, shape, or form am I ever going to sit here and tell you that Bobby Slowick didn't negatively impact the play of Dalton Schultz and the frustration didn't stem from some of what Bobby Slowick was doing. Look, he is a professional. He's been around good and bad. He knows when he sees bad. And if some of the stories that we've been seeing are hearing are true about Dalton, I mean about Bobby Slowick, then I'm sure he had some frustrations there. But nonetheless, what he put on tape is unacceptable. Period. Point blank. He's got to be significantly better. And if he is, then I think this offense will solve a lot of its problems.
Yeah. No, that is fair. And that room, and I'll be honest, I will, and maybe it's not fair, I will probably look at Nick Caley a little bit more if that room gives us what it gave us last year. If it is not significantly, and I do hold him to being his expertise as a part of it, right?
Yeah, like, hell yeah, absolutely.
Like if the Texans linebacking core was an absolute weakness, That would be an odd thing with who the guy is who runs that defense and what his expertise is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so so I will look at Nick Caley if, you know, you don't see a real upgrade in the tight end room, because it should be there.
it absolutely should be there. Whether it's Dalton Schultz himself, Cade Stover, the return of Brevin Jordan, it should be there.
Yeah, there's a conversation there, maybe for another day. But that Cade Stover is an improved Dalton Schultz, no question. But Cade Stover is the one that can make a big difference.
He's lurking.
Ooh,
yeah, he should be operating as if there is a chance for me.
Yeah.
To get more PT. All right, coming up 5:00. Dang, it's 5?
5 already, baby. Back
Tyler's
on the saddle
got this
rolling.
Thing moving on.
After you do 12 hours of radio, four seems pretty quick, doesn't it?
5:00 fire coming up. Joe Espada kind of gave an update to Jeremy Pena. We'll let you know that. Christian Walker, he is not in the lineup tonight. We'll tell you why and what these potential roster moves will look like for the Astros. We'll give you the lineup, get you ready for their matchup against the Guardians, and Home Run Derby. We're starting to see some of the players fall into this. I don't think Jordan's ever going to participate in this and probably shouldn't. So all of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.